is a Bramble Jam podcast.
Hi, everybody. It's Scottish Bran.
Is that? That's not a Scottish accent. It's Bran. I love Netflix Christmas movies, and I apologize for everything that I am.
Hi, I'm Jack, and I'm so grateful that y'all introduced me to Netflix Christmas movies.
I'm Alonzo, and Netflix movies are just kind of a pig in a poke. And this
is the Deck the Hallmark Podcast. Oh my gosh. Guys, this is it for us. The crew, Sam, Stan, the way that it was meant to be. The original trio.
You finally feels poisoned good. Him enough that he couldn't be here today.
Yes, that's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Little tiny bits in his Diet Coke and it would add up, you know.
That's exactly. Listen, I just want the three of us to hang out. I don't need Dan around ruining things, bringing in the vibes. So finally, but I am sad because this is the last one of these until the new year. We're not going to do one next Saturday, seeing as how it's, you know, Christmas and stuff.
Bran, I have a theory, and I think you're going to be on board with me, which is that the reason like us watch this stuff all year round and listen to Christmas music all year round is because the actual window is over before you know it. Like, I'm sure 40 films in with the Hallmark stuff, you're still like, but I started.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I started Christmas Morning, another podcast on the Brambleton Network, because I just wanted to enjoy each day and just sit for a moment, just sit each morning and think it's Christmas and then go on. So, yes, I am sad. I mean, this has been the busiest holiday season yet. We're covering 50 plus Christmas movies with the help of friends. And so it's a lot, but I'm sad that it's coming to a close. Like, it's always like, you know, you get through Thanksgiving week and then it's just like this fast. And so I'm sad to see it go, but guys, this has been so much fun. Jax, you don't need to cry this week too.
I know. Well, this movie might make me cry for different reasons, but I will say, I mean, I hope that we're now a tight trio for life.
Tight trio for life. That's going to be our band name, and we're going to go on tour, and we're going to sell out stadiums, not even arenas, stadiums, everybody. So last week we said that we were going to cover California Christmas 2. We called a slight audible, for various reasons, but one being Dan wasn't going to be able to join us this week. And so of course, we have to save California Christmas 2 for Dan. He wouldn't have it any other way. He loved the first one so much, and so it just wouldn't be right. So we did an audible to A Castle for Christmas, which has been getting a lot of buzz, a lot of buzz on the internet. I keep seeing things about A Castle for Christmas. So I was excited to finally dive into it. And this is like a true castle movie, which is nice because we haven't gotten like a true castle movie from Hallmark this year. They've been coming to America and stuff, so it's nice to get a real good castle time. Panda would have loved this.
Yeah. I love when we talk about him like he's dead. He's just not here. Oh, Panda would have loved.
I made him get a photo with me at Christmas Con, just proving that we're not the same person and we can in fact be in the same room together. And
yes, you can. But it is funny because the first time that we saw you, Jax, Panda was nowhere to be found. Yes. So that it went a little bit longer than you might expect, but we finally got you two together. So it felt right. It was so great to see you at Christmas Con, Jax. You did a great job moderating. Panda got to sit in on a couple of them and just crushing it over there, doing us proud. We're proud partners. You up there just
proud
moderating
partners.
Stuff.
Well, I have to say, every time I went past your booth, the line was very long that I started getting intimidated to talk to you guys. And Cassie was like, I've already seen them. Let's go over and see them again.
I kept going over to see Cassie because she was right across from the Boozy Pudding. And guys, they're not official sponsors yet, but I am going to do everything in my power to start promoting Boozy Pudding because, oh boy, I love Boozy. I mean, I love Bundle Game as well, and I want to give a quick shout out to Bundle Game. Bundle Game's great, and I'll go and look at it any day of the week. But the Boozy Pudding.
Bundle Game and Boozy Pudding?
I think we can all agree. Oh my gosh, that's a great combination. You guys should do some bundle bundles. Boozy Bundles. Boozy Bundles! Where you get a bundle and it comes with some Boozy Pudding.
And the Boozy Pudding jingle writes itself, you know. Oh, bring us some Boozy Pudding. Oh, bring us some Boozy Pudding.
It's funny because my sister Cassie doesn't like booze and she doesn't like pudding. And she had the Boozy Pudding and she was like, this is a game changer. I've just had like four in a row. Really? Like, what is this?
I'm not a pudding boy either, but boy, did it work for me. And I kept like walking over like, Cassie, you want another? And, it's on the house. Boozy Pudding's all around.
The joke I always had was when I lived in Dallas, they opened a reggae pool hall, and I don't play pool and I've never particularly liked reggae, but somehow the combo worked.
You're like, why? It make sense. It doesn't, but it also does.
Yeah, it's that, you know, rice and beans together are a protein, like, you know, it just sometimes it's all about the combination.
I'm dying at the image of you playing pool with reggae, just playing over the loudspeakers. That's an image that I never thought I needed, but now that I've had it, it's perfect. You guys want to dive into A Castle for Christmas?
Oh, let's
do it.
It originally aired on Netflix on November 26, 2021, and it went a little something like this. Sophie is a big time author, similar to me and Alonzo, like I think we're on the same level. She goes on Drew Barrymore, we go on Kelly Clarkson. Like the parallels are there.
It's shocking.
She has written tons of best-selling books, and this latest one is causing quite the scandal. She goes on Drew Barrymore to talk about this, about how she killed off a popular character named Winston. Drew drills her for this. She takes the fan side and is like, listen, you've had a tough year with the divorce and whatnot. Maybe that's why you made such a bad decision in killing off Winston. You didn't have to do that like that. And Sophie like freaks out and she's like, at least I killed him quickly. I could have made it a slow death. And it's this whole thing. And of course, that video goes viral as things do. So she decides, I'm going to go to Scotland to hang out until the press dies down. She has a picture of her dad who spent some time in Scotland by this castle. So she's going to go there. She's going to write. She's going to figure out how to bring Winston back. And she's going to figure out how to make everything better. So when she gets to Scotland, she's greeted by a dog trying to take her down. But luckily, a hunk of a man catches her. Turns out it's Duke Miles. And he ends up giving her a tour of the castle. The castle that she has the picture of with her dad. And she's heard about this carving that her dad made on a door. So she starts sneaking around and trying to find the carving, and she finds it. And it turns out that we find out that the dad was a groundskeeper. His family was a groundskeeper for the castle for a little while. And so she meets some people at the hotel and they love her. And they, even though she did the thing to Winston, they're like, we love you. And there even was a woman who knew her dad. So she feels very at home with this. And she finds out that the castle is going to be sold. So she decides, I want to buy the castle. Book money, baby. Alonzo and I know about that as well. Alonzo, we've had our eye on a castle or two, have we not?
It's true. We're still, you know, waiting for the details to come through.
Exactly right. Listen, castle deals are tough, but we're going to make it happen. There it is. See, Jax gets it. Books money. Miles is reluctant about this deal, but agrees as long as she stays at the castle through Christmas while he shows her the castle ropes. And basically his whole goal here is to show her how hard it is to care for a castle. That way she'll peace out of the deal. And that's kind of his intentions here. But she's pumped. She's going to learn about her roots. She's going to write her book. And she's going to get a castle in the process. Boom! And he's a little grumpy fella. She's persistent. So they hang out a good bit. And after a night of dancing, They end up getting real close to kissing, but they end up just hugging because, as he says, it's not a date. Naturally, they end up decorating the heck out of this castle. And after she finds a dress somewhere, she puts it on, and Miles is like, I can't handle this anymore. And they just start making out and then making their way to his room. We get a montage of them just enjoying the snow and, catching snow on the tongues and dancing and stuff. Catching snow on the tongues, that sounded worse than it is. It's not. It's very harmless. I would argue
that you were right the first time. It was harmful to me. But yeah. Sorry, keep going.
Depending on what they're using for snow, yeah.
Yeah. I didn't need to see it. So he offers. She is like, hey, after I buy this, you can have a room. You can move in. Type of thing, and he gets very offended by this, like, you're offering me a room in my own castle, blah blah blah, you're the worst. Freaks out on her, and she's like, I guess you win, because being here is just gonna remind me of you, so the deal is off. She vents to her newfound knitting club, and he thinks about her while reading her book, and we get a montage of clips that we've already seen in the movie. So good use of time. And he realizes that he's a dummy, dumb, dumb, dumb. So he goes and throws snowballs at her window, and she comes down, and he's wearing a suit up top, kilt down low, the way that it should be. And he ends up telling her that he's in love, and then he surprises her by flying her daughter out to the Christmas party. She finishes her book, and Drew Barrymore loves it. And everybody's a big fan, and she's a bestseller, and woohoo, the castle's here. And that, my friends, was a castle for Christmas. Yes, it was. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to break this movie down with four segments here on Deck the Hallmark. Welcome back, everybody. We're breaking down the Netflix movie, A Castle for Christmas, a castle movie with a Netflix budget. What can go wrong? Let's find out by starting with the hot take. We'll share exactly how we felt about this movie. I'm going to start with you, Jax. What did you think of A Castle for Christmas?
What the Netflix is what I thought. But that is a segment that we have later in the show. No, there were things I liked about this. I could watch the Drew Barrymore, Brooke Shields stuff for like 8 hours on loop. I thought that was a lot of fun. I thought Brooke Shields' wardrobe in this was spot on. And there was a lot of really cool stuff with the people who are in the castle. Like, I love when she arrived at the castle and the woman who was checking her in, who was incredibly charming, as were all the other inhabitants of the castle, that they were really supportive of her killing that guy off in her book. I found all of that charming. I found other things about this a little bit jarring and confusing, but also entertaining. But I thought they were satire, but I don't know if that was the intention. I don't know if intention matched impact. All in all, had a good time watching it, but was a little bit unsettled by a lot of the things that I saw.
Yeah, that's fair. I like this movie, I think. But it's a weird one because there's something about it that I don't like, but I can't really put my finger on it. Maybe it's the two leads together isn't what I'm not feeling, because the knitting crew, her new friends, fantastic. The castle, who doesn't love that? But maybe the romance was the thing that wasn't sticking for me. But overall, I did quite enjoy this movie. I had a good time. And it felt like a Hallmark movie with a big budget and Drew Barrymore and a scene where they end up in a bedroom. So, what more can you ask for out of a Netflix Christmas movie? So I quite enjoyed it. It's not going to be at the top of any list of mine, but I wouldn't be opposed. If it's on TV, I'd sit down and I'd watch it. Alonso?
Yeah, I thought it was fun. I think, Brooke Shields and Cary Elwes don't exactly generate, you know, big flaming sparks, but like they're a fun comedy duo. I think they get they're better as antagonists, really, I think, than when they fall in love. You're like, oh, okay, I guess this is happening now. But yeah, I like the eccentricity of like the charming townsfolk. I think in a lot of ways, this movie is smarter about certain plot points than your typical Hallmark movie would be. But on the other hand, there's definitely some wait what's that we'll get into. You know, this is directed by Mary Lambert, who did Pet Sematary and Siesta and the Madonna's legendary Like a Prayer video. She was supposed to direct Under the Cherry Moon, but then Prince fired her and decided to do it himself. And look how great that turned out. but she's a legendary, woman director of this generation. So I'm always happy to see her get work. Every so often, like the indie filmmakers will pop up doing one of these Christmas movies. I'm like, all right, that's a good check for them. I'm cool with that. But yeah, I would say for the most part, I had a good time.
Yeah. Let's talk about the feels, stuff that gave us the feels while we were watching this movie. Jax?
Alonzo, I want to circle back to your point, and this kind of goes in with the feels about they're a good comedy duo or antagonists. Mm-hmm. It reminds me of, I'm a big Shakespeare person, and Much Ado About Nothing, Beatrice and Benedict, before they fall in love, they have all this chemistry. It's also like if you want to go moonlighting with Sybil Shepherd and Bruce Willis. They have so much more chemistry when they're antagonistic and when it's that flirty thing than when the actual romance comes. And I think that's for me where this is problematic, is that I'm feeling these feels until I'm supposed to be feeling romance, and then I so actively don't feel it that it takes me out of it a little bit. But my heart was really warmed by the fact, and this is when I did have the feelings, that it is this woman who has gone on this journey and made a decision with her art that went, I mean, you guys know, as best-selling authors yourself, that it's difficult to sort of go against the grain artistically or creatively. And the fact that she did that, it sounds like not only in her personal life, but in her professional life, had me going, you go, girl. So that gave me some feels.
Yeah, I would say my feels was whenever she was with that group of friends. Like, I just thought they were really fun together. The fact that everybody hated her except for these people in this town, I thought was just really, really fun. Like, she found her people that were like, yeah, finally, you killed them off. So I liked that. And I liked any time that they were together, especially after the breakup castle scene, and she goes and she's, they're knitting and all that stuff. That crew really worked for me. So they gave me feels. Alonzo?
The idea that Brooke Shields and Drew Barrymore are friends in real life gave me feels, just because they're both like, they survived the 70s and 80s as people who were thrust into the spotlight at a very young age. So I imagine that they absolutely have a lot to talk about and support each other. I liked Knitting Bear, the big gay beardo in the knitting circle. I thought that was sweet. When the Duke carves the rest of McGinty into the door, I thought that was a sweet gesture. The scene where they're riding horses in the snow, because again, I think we can never take it for granted when there's actual snow in one of these movies. So I thought that was lovely. And of course, I got to give it up for the Netflix Royal Universe. The fact that characters from the Princess Switch movies do pop up here. It's like, oh, Netflix.
You guys are silly.
You love this. And look, I don't know why like Hallmark and Lifetime don't do it more often. Like this was the year that Hallmark was the, oh, let's cameo in each other's movies because we're all shooting at the same time within 10 miles of each other in Canada, So it's not that hard to do. I think people should lean into the bit more. So
the cameos are a big hit. Like anytime there was a cameo And we would say it, or, but we wouldn't spend a lot of time talking about it. Like mm-hmm. the amount of messages I got to be like, did you guys even see this? Like, yeah, we saw it. Like, what do you want us to say about it? It happened. It's cool. We did it. Like the first time it happened, we were like, that was really cool. I hope I see more of it. And we saw more of it. And it was like, all right, great.
Well, I guess we saw more of it then.
I'm happy. I don't know what you want from me, people. I'm happy.
They want you to spend at least 4 times as much time talking about the cameo as the cameo itself took, and I think that's valid.
Yeah.
So we need to remember that going forward.
Look, Spider-Man fans aren't the only ones who appreciate an Easter egg. Hallmark folks want to be able to say, I know what that is.
Yeah, that's right. Spider-Man wishes. Spider-Man wishes it had this rabbit of fans.
I'm so sorry.
No, go ahead.
I just want to add one more feel. Hamish the dog. Oh, I love that dog.
That's a great dog.
Love that dog. What a great dog. Let's take one more quick break. We'll come back with the Wait What and the What the Flicks here on Deck the Hallmark. Welcome back. We're talking A Castle for Christmas today here on Deck the Netflix. It's time for the Wait What. It's where we talk about what in this movie made us go Wait What while we were watching it. And I'll start with you, Jax.
The FaceTiming. So we know we've seen this in Hallmark movies. Also, I know it's not easy to shoot because in the engagement plot movie that I just shot, we have some FaceTiming. I know as an actor, it's a difficult thing to shoot. But I will say the way that FaceTiming was popping up on the screen just sent me so off kilter. I didn't know what was happening.
It was jarring because it would just like pop up and disappear real quick. And it
normally it doesn't bug me, but it weirdly took me out of it. There is a scene where they're supposed to be drinking tea or coffee, and you just see the cups like fully empty. Yeah. Carrie Elwes's cup. You're like, okay, well, they didn't even put any water or anything in it. That's fine. The final thing I will say is, and this doesn't mean I didn't enjoy it, it just had me going, wait, what? Which for me isn't always negative. The montages.
Yeah.
The montages. Again, it's not even a critique. It's just like, I don't know if this is supposed to make me laugh or feel vaguely uncomfortable or feel inspired or feel bromance. And I think I'm feeling everything, which is probably okay too, but I don't understand it.
I never like when they have a montage of scenes that have already aired. Like the movie's only an hour, 30 minutes. Like right. We remember
the good times.
Like, we've been here. I never like when they do that. And so this was definitely a case of that. When she was going on Drew Barrymore for the first time, she was backstage and she's walking, like she's about to walk on stage, and the guy stops her like, hold on. Was she going to walk on stage without any introduction? It looked like she was just, but like she's ready to go. The guy was like, hold on. She's going to announce you. Well, where was she going? Was she just going to bust out? Let's do this thing. Drew, woo! I'm here. I cannot believe that in the midst of all of the scandal, she didn't use a fake name to book this trip.
She seems to think that no one in Scotland is going to know her books. And it's like, well, honey, they're in English. Like, it's, you know, if you're this big a deal an author, it's quite possible that people have read you. And it turns out, yes, they all have.
Like, even celebrities that don't even have scandals going on, they use fake names just to do it. Like, I sometimes just use a fake name just to see what happens. You use a fake name when you're in the middle of a scandal. That's PR 101.
Sure, that's fair.
So she's out in the castle, and she's like, you know, sneaking around trying to find the carving. And she goes into the room, she sees it, she snaps a picture, and she sees the guy. And she decides the best way to hide here is to close the door as slowly as possible. To like, if he just would have done just a quick pour or just like popped in, he would have never known. It's just slow, like, it's the worst possible way that you could have hid. And my last one is I found the argument of, hey, you can stay here, and him getting offended to be one of the dumbest arguments that I have seen this year of a new couple. I thought that it was really dumb. I can't believe that's what they landed on when they wrote this movie. There were plenty of ways we could have had a misunderstanding or an argument, and this wasn't one of them. This wasn't one of them for me. It just didn't work.
Yeah, I'm going to piggyback on that because this is a terrible all is lost moment. This is a thing I've learned from this program, that all is lost is when the thing that seems like it's going to destroy the couple and break them apart. And the whole movie, I was like, well, you know, everybody's pretty above board here. Everybody's pretty direct about what it is they want and don't want. She even knows that his whole like 90-day escrow, you have to stay till Christmas thing was just a ploy to try and scare her off. Like, you know, she's not like, nobody in the town thinks that she's there for another reason. Like, everybody, it was all very direct and straightforward. I'm like, well, what's going to be the thing? What's going to be the wrench in the works here that's going to make this difficult? And then we get to that. I'm like, oh, really? That's it? And that's enough that's going to make her be like, I can't even buy this castle anymore because I'll just think of you whenever I'm in. I'm like, what?
Buy the castle and then you can sell it a kid. Like, there's no reason not to go through. It's never a bad investment to buy a castle.
Of course. Yes. Any financial advisor will tell you, okay, there's a castle available. Snap that baby up, flip it and reverse it. The whole movie, I was sort of thinking like, well, this is, you know, because up to that point, everyone's acting like a grown up and nobody is like, you know, running a little side game and oops, going to blow up their face. And so I thought, well, then surely the all is lost moment will be some kind of adult thing of, it's not going to be some dumb misunderstanding. It's going to be some fundamental issue of blah, blah, blah. Oh, no, it's going to be a dumb misunderstanding.
Very dumb.
So, you know, whatever. The only other thing I had behind that was I had some hair issues with this movie. So there's a whole big thing about how the baker lady wants to dye her hair green, and Brooke is like, oh, no, I'm an accomplished colorist. I'll do it for you. And gives her these green streaks, and it's very cool and modern. And then they're gone, and then they're back again. Like, no one bothered to understand the green hair continuity in this movie, so that just goes away. And then later we find out that Brooke has done the hair for everybody in the knitting circle, including Maisie, who is black. And can I just point out that black women's hair is a whole separate field of study that Brooke Shields' character does not know. She is not Rachel Dolezal. She does not know how to style a black woman's hair. You need a lot of explanation to lay that out and give us the groundwork to make that plausible. So that just set off a big alarm for me.
Alonzo, can I speak to that?
Please.
I think it would have been really funny if there would have been a scene where Brooke Shields' character is like, I'm going to do your hair too. And she's like, oh, you're
no,
not.
No, you're not.
Yeah. I mean, it's
don't
cute that
me.
You think you can, but we're going to walk this way back. Yeah, I think that would have actually been, it was a missed comedic opportunity.
Absolutely.
That we could have had there.
And to be fair, like, Maisie is the one woman of color in this entire town. Like, she probably has to go to Aberdeen or something to find a salon, but I just don't believe that Brooke Shields is the one who's going to bring that magic for her.
No. man, that's great. Let's get to the What the Flicks, where we talk about what we are still wondering about, the questions that we still have. Jax?
You know, I basically... And then, you know, Alonzo sort of put this in my head when he was talking about just their off-screen relationship with Brooke Shields and Drew Barrymore. I'm just wondering how many more times she's going to appear in her show. And then in the next movie, it could maybe be starring Drew Barrymore and Brooke Shields. And all of the people, like, maybe Drew interviews all of our castle friends. Like, I just want more Drew Barrymore if she will grace us with her presence.
No kidding. I love the Drew Barrymore. I was wondering, like, I wonder how that works, like, with with rights and stuff? Like how, what, like when you get, when you have an interview on the Drew Barrymore show, like a fake one, like it's a real show, like they use Drew's logo and everything at the bottom. So I just wonder how the rights to all that works, but I'm sure Netflix isn't, you know, losing sleep over that.
No, I'm sure they worked out the details. Although the stuff at the end of the movie feels so weirdly unscripted and thrown together. Like when Drew asks, "So are you a duchess now?" And Brooke's like, "Wait, did he propose?" Like they're literally, it's like literally the two of them are talking about the plot of the movie. It's not even like they're in character anymore.
Yeah,
that's, I was so there for that. I was just like, anything that they want to do, is what I want to be watching.
Yeah. I want to know, obviously she made it very clear. I believe there's 12 rooms in this castle.
Hmm. 12 bedrooms, 10 bathrooms.
That's exactly right. So clearly enough room for her entire knitting crew. Does she invite the whole gang to move in? At least the ones that can, like, hey, come on, move into the castle. Plenty of room, plenty of bathrooms. Let's do this thing. We can do hair. We can knit. Like I want to, and
we'll
I want to
start a craft and baking commune.
And I would watch that reality TV show where you put 12 people into a castle and see what happens. I'd watch that show. In fact, I might work on that pitch.
What happens right after a this? Novelist and a baker and a knitter all? Yeah, that's there's a potential there.
Did anybody watch the HBO Christmas reality show? What was that?
Oh, 12 Days of Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, was it good?
I watched like 15 minutes of the first episode and I was like, I'm out.
So I've not watched the second season, but I will say the first season was actually really charming and great. And I watch dating reality shows and it was a lot more inclusive, which I appreciated. And it was wacky. It was self-referential. So.
But it was pretty saucy, right?
Yeah, but not so, like, you wouldn't watch it. It's not G. It maybe isn't PG, but it's definitely not like, you know.
There was a lot of skin, but there wasn't a lot of, you know.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I want to see a reality show that is truly like a, I don't know, like a choose your own adventure Hallmark Christmas movie or something where it like feels like you're kind of along like a Black Mirror interactive episode, but it's a Hallmark Christmas movie. Let's work on this, guys.
Should we? I'm not kidding. Should we pitch this?
Yeah, we should pitch this.
Yes. Yeah, shoot it in that town where they do the Evergreen movies, and like you call it like help. I'm trapped in a Hallmark Christmas movie. Maybe is what we call it.
Listen, it's clear that Hallmark's trying to figure out what the heck to do with their streaming service. So, can I introduce you to interactive?
And every week there's a contest. There's the gingerbread making week, and there's the tree decorating week, and then there's eliminations, and then the winner gets like one dry kiss from, you know, Andrew Walker.
Yeah, and I just want to say, guys, like Hallmark's clearly taking chances because in the Godwink movie this year, a guy got run over by a car.
Wow.
So things are happening over on the Hallmark channel.
I have not caught up on that one yet, but I
got run over. Got run over, Alonzo. Just didn't see it coming. You're just having a good time. Godwink's chiming and stuff. And then bam, run over by a car.
Did anybody hold up a sign from across the street that I know about your car accident?
I know about that. Oh gosh. I love it. Oh, I'm sorry. Alonzo, go ahead.
I just was thinking like, okay, they better get married soon so that she can get Scottish citizenship, because I think the idea of an American coming over to Scotland and buying a castle is going to be a giant tax headache and all other kinds of like, you know, nationality stuff. I think you can't just sort of breeze into Europe and start snagging real estate willy nilly unless like you've really got your ducks in a row.
100%. 100%. Guys, we did it. It feels it's bittersweet to be done for the season with the Netflix movies, but we're going to be back in the new year. We're going to keep reviewing other networks. And so
off Hallmark,
off Hallmark, if you will. And so let's do this again, guys. Let's do this again.
Absolutely.
And until then, may we be the first to wish you a Merry Christmas.
Deck the Hallmarks of Bramble Jam podcast. It's presented by Philo TV. It's produced by Brandon Gray and recorded live in, Greenville, South Carolina. Set decor is by Plum at Haywood Mall. For more information on Deck the Hallmark, you can go to deckthehallmark.com. For more information on Bramble Jam Podcast Network, you can go to bramblejampodcast.com.
You're about to hear some ads that help keep the lights.